So happy Mother's Day, Big Timber moms. So, hey kids, you can go to kids' church into Sunday school, and for the rest of us, is we're going to make a transition here. As many of you know, is Kim has been gone, is we actually kind of know what it's like not to have mom around for a few weeks, and we made it, we survived, it was barely though, just barely, and the kids are glad to have their mom back, and I am too, so it was definitely different, but Kim had the privilege of being a part of a prayer journey with the Jesus film, and so I've asked if she would come up and share a little bit, and since this was kind of a church thing, we want to share with you about how this came about. So, Kim had the opportunity to travel with the Jesus film. And the Jesus film, for those of you that don't know, is it's a part of the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, which Jacob is going to be committing a year to. And they just have this wonderful ministry. We've been a part of it for a number of years now. Our church family, a number of years ago, sponsored an unreached people group in the translation of scripture into that people's language. It was a group of people in China. It was a number of years kind of in the making, but we sponsored, I think it was about $36,000. And so with some sponsors, we sponsored the translation of scripture into that language. And then since then, we've been a part of providing the Jesus film to teams that would take the Jesus film into unreached areas. And so last year, is the church committed about $12,000 to send three teams into areas that have never seen the Jesus film, that have never heard the gospel. That was all of last year. And I think that actually continued over a couple of year period of time. But with that is just with the ministry of the Jesus film, the Jesus film has wanted for individuals from our congregation to go and experience what's happening on mission fields around the world. And so Kim got this invitation, and I want for her to be able to share with you how this invitation came about and how she came to accepting the invitation. And so if you could just share with us how it came about and how you got to the point of saying yes.
So I've shared this story with some of you, so bear with me while I share it again, possibly. But so a couple months ago, it was early Sunday morning, and I was having a really intense dream that I was trying to get to the airport and trying to pack to meet people I didn't know, to go to a country that I didn't know about, to go pray. Crazy dream. Very stressful. And I came to church, and someone asked me how I was doing that day. There were some ladies visiting the church, and I said, actually, I'm kind of stressed out. I had this crazy dream, and I shared my dream with them, which is kind of random. But one of the ladies said, maybe God wants you to be ready to go on something. Maybe something's coming up that you're going to have to get ready to go quick, and it's not going to be very easy, maybe. So anyway, so she communicated that to me, and I thought, oh no, life's too busy, I've got a lot going on, I doubt that's the case. So I'll probably just keep doing what I'm doing. But then about 3 weeks before it was time to go on this prayer journey, I was approached with this invitation, and everything in me wanted to say no. I felt scared about leaving for 2 weeks. I felt like I had a lot of schoolwork to do. There's just a lot going on, and it just felt like it wasn't a good idea. But I was thinking about that dream that I had, and I thought, I'd better pray about this just in case that was a God thing. So I did, and I didn't feel like I was getting any answers. But Kitty Rickert, who was also on this trip, she said, Kim, I'm going to pray that God will give you a scripture. And so it was downed, or I had pretty much to make the decision, because we had to purchase plane tickets, and I was laying in bed, and I thought, you know, that verse in the Bible that talks about, there's this verse in Luke that talks about building a tower, and who doesn't count the cost before they start their tower, because if you can't complete it, then people will laugh at you and make fun of you, so you don't start building a tower till you know you can complete it. So I thought, that's my verse, I'm not gonna go. There's too much. I don't know if I can do this. I mean, I had to ask for time off from some jobs. I had school. I had a lot of commitments. So I thought, that's ridiculous. I shouldn't be doing this. I don't know if I can make it happen. And there was even support to be raised. So I thought, yeah, this isn't going to happen. So I was getting ready to get up that morning, and I was going to call Kitty and give her my verse and say, I can't go. I knew it was in Luke 14, so I started reading Luke 14, and I was reading the parable about the invitation to the banquet. And in that invitation, all these people have really great excuses not to go to the banquet. They have new cows to check on. Ranchers can connect to that. Someone just got married. They had all these reasons to not go to the banquet, and they missed out. And I was reading that, and I thought, oh, is he asking me to go? No. Where's that other verse? So I kept reading and went to go find that other verse. And as I was reading it, I realized I had read it completely out of context in my mind. Basically, what he's saying is, before you start building a tower, you need to count the cost. But he's saying, before you commit to following Christ, you need to count the cost. And the cost is surrendering your whole life to him. That's the cost. And so I was like, I guess I'm going. So that's how it came about for me to say yes. So I accepted the invitation, and I had a lot to do, just like in my dream. I had to do 60 hours of observation at the grade school. I typed up 45 pages of observation notes and did a 15-page paper and packed and left. It was like boom, 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 just like that. It was crazy. I didn't even really understand where I was going, just like my dream, and I didn't know the people I was going to be going with, just like my dream. So that is how the whole adventure started.
And so on that particular Sunday, three Sundays ago, you got on a plane and you flew to Bucharest, Romania. And give us just kind of a little bit of an overview of your time in Romania with some of the highlights. Tell us a little bit about Romania.
Okay. So when the plane left, I cried. The poor people sitting next to me, these two gentlemen who were probably thinking, oh, great. I was scared. I was scared and tired and nervous, and 2 weeks is a long time. And the first day in Romania, I was there for the National Day of Prayer. And so we got to meet with all the Crusade staff members that were able to get there from Romania to come together to pray for the missions that they are doing in Romania. And so I had this amazing opportunity to meet these beautiful people who are serving the Lord so faithfully in their country, and pray for them and worship with them. And that was super fun. We got to, some of the songs they sing are the songs we sing, but they sing them in their own language. And it is so cool to worship singing in your language the same song that people are singing in another language. So that was really beautiful. But we got to pray for these people, and that was a highlight. And that was day one. And I thought, oh, wow, I've got a big trip left, and that was an amazing day. It's only going to go downhill. How could it be any better than that? It was just such a beautiful day, and I couldn't imagine any more amazing days. But each day, God made amazing things happen. We went to the Parliament building, which is the largest
administrative building
in the world. We got to see one-third of this building, and it took a long time. I mean, the rooms, individual rooms, were gigantic in this place. And I found it amazing because they estimate that 3% of the country, of the country in Romania, that only 3% of the people are following Jesus, born-again Christians. So here we are in this Parliament building, and it's the 3% I saw was huge, and that's all I got to see. It was gigantic. And then I thought, wow, the body of Christ in Romania is probably gigantic too. Even though it's only 3%, they're powerful people who are being moved by the Holy Spirit. So that was a really cool object lesson, if you will, for me. And then as we were moving through the Parliament building that day, it wasn't planned. It wasn't set up this way. It was just a divine appointment, I believe. But the president of the country was there, along with all the leaders of that country, and they were meeting at the Parliament building. So we had the opportunity to pray for the country, pray for the country's leaders. And my very, very favorite time was when we moved through this great big hall, and all of the people were probably in break, and they were all standing in the hall visiting with their colleagues. And we got to move through that crowd of people with partners and pray out loud while we moved amongst them. And I just thought, this is so cool. What an awesome opportunity to pray for the leaders and be able, I could reach out and touch all of them, you know, like it was just like I was having this amazing opportunity to pray for the country, and I did not take that lightly. I felt like it was a divine appointment, and I took it very seriously, and we very much enjoyed praying that day in that big, beautiful building. So that was kind of a highlight in Romania. We also got to see, go to an orphanage, which was a beautiful, it was a good orphanage. Many orphanages in Romania are not, because they take the money that's provided and use it for their personal gain, and the children don't, you know, aren't blessed by those funds. But we got to go to one that was founded by a lovely lady. She's an older lady, and her husband, who'd passed away, and is now run by her daughter. And the older lady, she was good friends with the founder of Voice of the Martyrs, which a lot of you may know about. And so they were visiting about the condition of the orphanages in Romania. And so he inspired this family to start their own. And so it's running to this day, and it is a light. It's a beautiful orphanage. And so I was able to support that. Because people handed me some money for spending money, and I thought, I'm not going to spend it, I'm going to give it to the orphans. So give it to this beautiful ministry. And the other cool thing in Romania is we met a gentleman who had planted 15 churches in gypsy communities, and he was a fireball. Oh my goodness, just an amazing man. And he had such a vision for reaching his people. And he planted these 15 churches, and he was building a building that he's going to use for discipleship and training to send more people out for missions, which is so funny. When you go overseas for a mission trip and you find out that they're going to train people for overseas missions, it's really funny. So that was cool. So he was going to start a discipleship school, and they needed a roof. So we went, and I have pictures of it, and if you come to another meeting sometime, I'll show you the pictures. But they had this cinder block building with walls and windows ready to go, but no ceiling, no roof, nothing. And so we were able to take an offering that day to help cover half the cost of a roof. And again, that was provided by some funding that came from our congregation. So thanks to you all, we were able to bless an orphanage and help build a roof for a discipleship school, which is awesome.
Yeah. And the country of Romania is a relatively young country. And Kim, could you share just a little bit about, what's changed in that country, and a little bit about the staff and how they came to know the Lord?
So 30 years ago, Romania was under communist rule. And so if you're like my age there, you were like an older teenager when it was still communist. So I got to meet people who were about my age, who are ministering there, and they have stories about what it was like before the fall of communism and after. They tell stories about how they used to have to wait in lines, like they'd get up at 4 in the morning to stand in line to get bread and milk and be in line for maybe 3 or 4 hours because of rations, things like that. Men would be forced to go do work projects and leave their family and just leave and be gone for 6 months at a time, and many of them died because the conditions weren't good that they were working in. And so it was really just kind of a tough time, but it was really hard for Christians because they were arrested and sometimes killed if they were found out, because you weren't allowed to be a Christian. So I met one young lady who, she's a pastor's wife today, but she, when she was young, she became a believer. And she was secretly following Christ. But her dad, who was a part of the government and who was a part of arresting Christians, found out. And he sent her to her room. And she said, I anticipated that would be my last day, that he would come in with a gun and shoot me. But instead, he just beat her up really bad. And so, so these were the people that I was having the opportunity to pray for and work with in this country. And that just really impacted me, because now they have liberty to share their faith, and so they're just bold, you know? I mean, they had to be secret or go to jail or maybe be killed, and now they have this green light. So they're not wasting their green light. They take it very seriously. So it's fun to minister with them in that country.
Yeah, and so just when it comes to Romania, as you were getting ready to leave, and the significant thing that you kind of walked away from the ministry there with is what did the Lord impress upon you?
So one day we were having a devotional time, and we had the opportunity to travel on this prayer journey with a woman named Elizabeth Schenkel, and her husband is the head of the Jesus Film Ministry. So he's in charge of the whole workings of it. So her husband kind of, because he's in his position, kind of deals with the most challenging scenarios that are going on with that ministry. One time that things became challenging and something came to their plate where they had to make a decision, one country was experiencing persecution, and that the people that were there sharing the gospel were getting killed. And the way they were doing it is that they were killing individuals one at a time, and then they'd put a name tag on the body of the next person that they were going to kill, and then move on to that person and kill them, and another name tag, and then go after that person and kill them. So the Schenkels decided it's time to pull our people out. It's not safe, obviously. So they decided to pull these people out that were working there, and they didn't want to go because they were so committed to their job there, but they had to because they were forced to by the boss. So they had to leave, and they were told that in a discussion, they were talking about where they were going to send them to Texas for a while, and one of the ladies said, "Oh no, I don't want to go to Texas. It's dangerous there." And everyone was just kind of blown away by that statement, because I mean, here you are about possibly could be killed any day, and Texas is Texas, you know? And they said, "Well, why do you feel like it's so dangerous?" And she said, "Texas is a place where you can go and fall asleep and never wake up." And she was talking from a spiritual standpoint of danger. She was worried that her fervency for sharing the gospel and taking God seriously and living her whole life for him would become, that she'd get sleepy and not wake up. So she was very, very scared of that happening, more scared than dying over there in that country. That really impacted me, because as I was processing during that devotional, I thought, you know, it's pretty easy to be a pastor's wife in Big Timber, Montana, and get involved in lots of ministries and doing lots of stuff and doing my thing here and there and fall asleep and forget my purpose. And my purpose is to live for him, give him my life, follow him and share the gospel with as many people as I can. So he woke me back up that day. So that was good. That was my highlight in Romania.
All right. And I know that there's so many more things that you can share about Romania, but let's jump to Greece. Mm-hmm. And after a little over a week in Romania, you were able to move to Greece. And just tell us a little bit about that experience in Greece and some of the highlights.
So Greece was a totally different culture. In Romania, it's pretty stoic, and, you know, they're very serious-minded because they've been in revolution, you know. They take life very seriously. And then you kind of go to Greece, and it's like all about Greek food and warm climate and lots of fun people. And so you kind of shift gears. But the Christians there that are working with Crusade are amazing and doing really neat things in that country. We got to meet the staff of Crusade in Greece and hear what Jesus is doing there through them and their ministries. So that was incredible to hear their stories. We got to meet a lady who took us to the refugee camp. She was in charge of clothing all the refugees, and she kind of explained to us the situation there, which was very helpful to just have a perspective of thousands of people coming in on boats, many washing up on the shore, drowned, people coming who are actually interested and hungry to know Jesus because they're very disenfranchised with their faith that they've had in their other country in Syria. So, so it was just neat stories, hard to hear stories. She's had her heart broken many times. She's been through a lot. But it was fun to get to know her and to see her interact with the people at the refugee camp. She's been sharing her faith. She has to be cautious about it. And because it's a different culture within the culture there, so she has to be cautious. But she has shared her faith with lots of refugees and has distributed some Bibles and has a good reputation with a lot of them. It was fun to see them run up and hug her. She's very colorful. She had like the brightest blue eyeshadow and green and lots of colors. She's just very colorful and fun and exciting. And the people, the refugees love her because she takes good care of them and loves them. And she's very patient with them because sometimes they're grumpy. She told a story about one woman that was very challenging to work with because she was very tall and it was hard to find clothes that would fit her. And she would get really mad. And instead of being frustrated with her, she wanted to know more about this woman's story. And she had been in a building that had been bombed and lost a child. And then they had to escape, leaving a lost child behind in rubble with the rest of her family. So of course she's grumpy, right? And they've reached out and ministered to her. And by the end of her time at the refugee camp, she was doing a little better. They'd ministered to her and helped her work through a lot of grief. So cool ministries there. I could go on and on, but I won't. So.
All right. And just a couple of things where God spoke to you during your time in Greece, one or two of them.
So this is just a personal one. And I hope to have a time later to show pictures and share more details about the ministries. I could go on, and I can't do that to you. So look forward to that later. But I do want to share this one thing that the Lord spoke to my heart. Maybe two things. But this one thing, there was this day when I was leaving my hotel room. And I mean, I had been in Greece. And the meals, oh my goodness, they know how to eat there. It's so good. Like you just, I hope I can learn to cook that stuff. But anyway, it was amazing feasts, literally. Like we would just have these wonderful meals. The economy is so bad in Greece that like a meal that would cost us $40 would maybe be like $12 there. So very inexpensive. But you're eating, I felt like I was eating like a queen. And I was, you know, staying in hotels and on the Mediterranean, the Aegean Sea. I found out later that it was actually the Aegean Sea, which is part of the Mediterranean Sea. And I was kind of feeling guilty. I was like, you know, I have got to meet the most amazing Christians. I have seen God do beautiful things through the Jesus film. We've seen people come to Christ. I have story after story of those things. And I was feeling a little guilty. Like, I'm like, you know, I haven't cooked. Like, happy Mother's Day, guys. I've had, like, I don't even know. I didn't have to cook for 2 weeks. So anyway, this little feeling just, it wasn't little. It was actually kind of heavy. And it was just, I feel guilty. And I can't have another fancy meal. And I can't have more room in my heart to love another servant of Christ. I can't fit any more amazing testimonies into my brain. I can't keep taking this all in. It was so rich and abundant and beautiful. Every day was like a feast, spiritually and for real, like just on every level. And so I'm walking out of my hotel room to go to this evangelistic event that we're headed to, and I have that guilty feeling. And it was like the Holy Spirit whispered to my heart, "Daughter, I invited you to a banquet." And if you remember that passage in Luke 14, I was so focused on being obedient to accept the invitation. I was so focused on saying, "Yes, God, I'll go, that I forgot what I was even being invited to. It was a banquet. And I shared that with a few ladies, and they said, "Yeah, God didn't invite you to a potluck." So that was just kind of a special moment, and I made the decision to stop feeling guilty and just love every moment and keep taking it into the very, very end. And this will be my last story. So the very, very last day, we went for a prayer walk along the edge of the ocean. And we were there. I saw military people, so I was praying for all of our military that are stationed in Turkey. And, you know, I just was praying about so many things on that day. But it came to my heart, "Lord, we're still here. We're all getting ready to pack. We're all getting ready to go home. But you still have our bodies in this country, so maybe you still have something more. So the very last dinner that we had together, we were up in our hotel had this open air restaurant, and we were up on the 8th floor, and we were having our last supper, and it was going to be our last time all together. And there were these two young men that were traveling who were Christians. They had made a commitment to, they had money to fly and then money to fly home. And they had backpacks, and that's it. No spending money, nothing. They're just trusting God, and they're sharing the gospel with everybody that they can. And so here they are on this two-month mission, trusting God. They came upstairs with me on the elevator. Actually, we were going up together, but I didn't chat with them or anything. But they came up that night because they'd met someone on the street who said, sometimes we go up there for coffee. And so they thought, let's go there and see if we find that person again, and maybe we can talk with them about the Lord. Well, they came up, and that person wasn't there. And so they thought, well, let's go. But before they left, they hear us people from the States talking, and they're from the States. So they said, so where are y'all from, you know? And one of the ladies we were sitting with, who they talked with, she said where she was from. They find out that they actually know the same people, which is crazy, because there's like nobody up there even speaking English, right? So they know the same people. And she had sung at a wedding previously, and this young man actually was at that wedding. And they keeps going with the wedding feast. I'm telling you, the theme just ran throughout the whole trip that I was there. But anyway, so they get to talking, and we find out their story. And it just turns out that that night they didn't have anywhere to stay. They hadn't eaten, and they didn't know when they were going to eat or with what or if. So they were hungry and homeless. And we were able to invite them to eat. And one of the young men just cried because he got to order from a menu and eat whatever he wanted. And he knew it was God's provision. We all knew that God brought us together. It was just not a coincidence. And then one of the ladies said, well, I'll move in with my friend tonight into her hotel room so that you can stay in mine. So she packed up her stuff, cleared it all out, so they would have a place to sleep that night. Well, anyway, we got to hear all their amazing stories about praying for people and healing people and crazy, awesome things. And we got to share our stories about praying with people and leading people to Christ. And we just had this beautiful time of fellowship for our last night together. It was really cool. But my favorite thing was when we were done eating and it was all time for us to go, the young man said, so when people received Paul, he said, to bless them. He said, I want to bless you, all your women. So we all gathered around in this crowded outdoor restaurant with waiters and waitresses zooming past us, people eating their meal. And he raised his hands over us as we clustered up and prayed the most amazing prayer over all of us. And I just sat there going, this is so from God. I mean, this young man, he's got his master's in accounting, and he's doing this before he starts his career. You know, he doesn't have a family yet, but he had the insight from the Holy Spirit to pray over our children, our children's future spouses. He prayed over our finances, our health. He prayed over every possible thing that you would ever ask for prayer about in great passion with his hands over us. I can't even tell you. I felt like I was being prayed for by the Apostle Paul, because here he is following in Paul's footsteps, and we're in Thessalonica where Paul walked, and that's their whole purpose, is to go and follow in Paul's footsteps and share the gospel just like Paul did and trust him. And so it was just a really beautiful way to end our time. And that was our very last evening together. And then we were on our bus and coming home, or headed to the airport, and then I cried when the plane left. So I cried because I met people that I knew I probably wouldn't see again, that I loved. And I that's one of the things that makes heaven so special. So I know I'll see them there. But it was hard to say goodbye. So I was happy to come home, but I was sad too. So I cried leaving, and I cried coming home. So
one of the cool things that we get to do as a church is that we get to do things outside of the church walls of the building here. And it really is the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church does not exist for what happens inside of the walls. It exists for the world, and it exists to bless the world. And so we bless our own community as often as we can, and our families, and we point each other to Jesus. But then we go and we do that in other places around the world. And I'm glad that this is a church that says yes, and that we send resources outside of the church walls, that we're a part of ministry that's going on all over the world. And whether it's by helping send young people on mission trips and mission endeavors, or whether it's by sending Kim or participating in the Jesus film. And there's literally church planting that's going on all over the world right now because of churches like this and because of the Jesus film tools, which is much more than just the Jesus film. There's a whole nother set of tools that are being used to plant churches. And so thank you for that. We're going to share more about this in coming months. This is, in fact, Kim and Kitty had been home for a couple of days, and Kitty got a hold of Kim and said, hey, that Romanian couple that worked with us while we were in Romania, they're coming to the United States to share at a Jesus film briefing in Nevada. And would the Big Timber Church host them for a weekend? And I didn't even have time to get permission, and so I just said yes. And then I called Jay Provacek, who's our missions director, and said, hey, I just said yes. And he said, I'm so glad that you did. So they're hopefully going to be sharing with us in October, and you get to hear from them. But it really is a neat ministry, and it's a ministry that that is reaching people that you'd say is that we can't reach because they're far away, and a lot of times is they're individuals that have come from Islamic countries or other places and difficult things, and we'd never be able to be a part of that. Well, we are a part of it because of the Jesus film, and then because we get to hear testimonies like this. And so hopefully, prayerfully, in October, we'll get to hear more about that. But thank you for being the kind of church that's investing in ministry all over the world. And continue to do it. Continue to do it. It's a big commitment, but it comes with big blessings also. And so pray for Jacob as he's preparing to minister in Western Europe. Pray for the YWAM students who, even now, there's a number of them that are praying about going back. And then pray for the Jesus film. But thank you so much for supporting these kinds of things. Let's stand together and let's close in prayer. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May you sense him leading you each day. For those that are moms here today, may you sense the peace of the Lord, the grace of the Lord, the presence of the Lord as you receive your strength from him to be the parent that he calls you to be. Happy Mother's Day. May all of his blessings be on you. Father and Lord God, we thank you for this day. We ask that you would go before us. We commit ourselves to you, and we ask that you'd help us to be the light of Christ in our community and in our world. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless.